This is DW News live from Berlin. Police in California respond to an active shooting at a high school. At least five people are believed to be injured in the incident. Unconfirmed reports say the shooter is in custody. We'll go live to the U.S. for the latest. Also coming up, a tenuous truce in Gaza after 2 days of violence. Palestinian militants wind down their rocket attacks on Israel. Israel says it's respecting a ceasefire after raids which killed 34 Palestinians. And catastrophic flooding in Venice has residents scrambling to limit the damage done to the ancient city by the highest tide in half a century. Italy's prime minister calling the floods a blow to the heart of the country. I'm Leila Hark. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. And we begin this broadcast with breaking news out of the U.S., where sadly another school shooting has taken place. Authorities say at least five people have been injured in a high school shooting in Southern California. A male suspect reportedly opened fire at Saugus High School in the city of Santa Clarita before fleeing the scene. Local media are reporting he has been located and is, quote, no longer a threat, while two of the shooting victims are set to be in a critical condition. All right. And just to remind our viewers, we're still very much in the midst of this unfolding event. I want to take you now to L.A., to Jason Campidoglio. He is the NBC bureau chief there for radio. Jason, what more have you learned? There have been some conflicting reports about what has happened to the gunman.
You're absolutely right. It is a very fluid situation right now. There are some reports based on sources, unconfirmed reports, that the shooter is dead. Although Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva has just put out on social media that the shooter is not dead. In fact, he's in custody and in the hospital being treated for some sort of injury. We're not sure if that's a gunshot from himself or possibly he was gunned down by one of the officers. We're not exactly sure right now. We are awaiting a press conference where more details are expected to be released. But as it sits right now, we're just uncertain.
All right. What do we know about the suspect?
We do know that he was a student at Saugus High School. We know that he was 15 years old. We know that a gun was recovered in between the school and this home where he was believed to be holed up and may have killed himself or been shot by officers. He also may have dropped some backpacks on the way. Again, those are unconfirmed reports. Those are witnesses from the scene. But a 15-year-old with that type of, you know, firepower is a little bit scary for the people in the area. We do know that he was an Asian male. But we're not exactly sure why the shooting took place. Law enforcement has not said anything about a possible note, a possible motive, or anything in the home that they found to indicate why he would go to the school and open fire.
A terrifying, terrifying situation for the students and parents alike. Now, as you've been reporting, we're showing students that being evacuated earlier on, and also somebody being carried in on a gurney into an ambulance. What can you tell us about the students? Have they been reunified with their parents? Are they still being held at another place?
It's going to be a very long day for students and parents. All of the students, the survivors of the shooting, if you will, and the school is about 2,500 students deep. So this is going to take some time. They're loading them up on buses, and then they're taking them to a baseball field or a park nearby where parents are able to then check in, and then the students are being released to their parents. But every single student is going to be interviewed today by, probably, if I had to guess, the feds are there, local government, local law enforcement agencies. They want to know what they saw, what they heard, if they know the shooter, anything that might indicate some sort of motive. Some of the interviews that I've seen and some of the people that I've talked to there at the school say it's a very nice school. This is where you want to send your kids. You send your kids to school and you say, you know, have a great day. And there's no worries of anything like this happening. And then we have something that happened like this today.
And put this in perspective for us, if you will, Jason, in terms of school shootings in the area, how common are they? Are there drills to help prepare the students deal with this type of situation?
there are drills, and that's all they are, really, here in Southern California. We don't get very many school shootings. Now, we do get some gang activity in some of the schools in downtown Los Angeles and other cities surrounding the area, but we don't really have a mass shooting. This is something that is relatively new to us in the area. But the parents, again, are saying, you know, you never think anything like this is going to happen. And the students definitely prepare for something like that. And you're always talking about it on social media. And, you know, if it happens in, you know, one of the rural states in the United States, you talk about it, you have those conversations, you have the grief counselors on campus. But something like this is definitely new to that area. It's a more affluent area. It's a suburb of Los Angeles. It's about 40 miles north or so. And that's where, and I'm just getting word that one of the students that was shot has died in the shooting.
Yeah, I'm seeing it here as well. One female victim in California high school shooting has died, according to a tweet from the Henry Mayo Hospital. Very heartbreaking indeed. Jason Campidella, thank you so very much for this update. We're going to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you now about some of the other stories making news around the world. In Baghdad, fresh clashes between anti-government protesters and police have left at least four people dead and dozens more injured. Demonstrators are demanding political reforms amid government corruption and economic hardship. Over 300 people have been killed since the protests erupted in early October. Turkey says it has deported seven Germans and one British national suspected of being Islamic State militants. The Germans are believed to be a family from the central town of Hildesheim, which has been the focus of anti-terror raids. Turkey is expected to deport two more suspected German IS militants tomorrow. Renewed clashes have broken out in the Bolivian capital, La Paz. The unrest comes a day after the Senate leader, Jeanine Añez, was sworn in as interim president. The former head of state, Evo Morales, was ousted this week and fled to Mexico. Israel says a series of rockets have been fired from Gaza, despite a ceasefire that was agreed earlier with the militant Palestinian group Islamic Jihad. While the last 2 days have seen the heaviest fighting in months along the Gaza border, 34 Palestinians died in Israeli strikes on Gaza.
Missiles soar into the night sky above Gaza before being snuffed out by Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system. But as day broke, it seemed to beckon a fragile peace here. News of a de-escalation in the air.
We confirm that a ceasefire deal was reached under the supervision of Egypt. It went into effect on the ground at 5 a.m. with Islamic Jihad conditions. The deal includes the occupier Israel's submission to conditions to stop the assassinations, protect the march of return demonstrators, and to begin the procedures to break the siege of Gaza.
The clashes began after Israeli forces killed a senior commander from the Palestinian militant group Islamic Jihad. They fought back, firing hundreds of missiles towards Israel, destroying buildings and wounding residents, striking panic into everyday life. It was Israeli firepower which proved deadliest. Airstrikes on militant targets in the occupied territory of Gaza killed dozens, many of them civilians and children. Israel says the ceasefire deal will bring an end to the bloodshed, though not the grief.
Venice, a World Heritage site, is battling with the aftermath of catastrophic flooding. Priceless landmarks were submerged, tourists stranded, wading through water. Now, Italy's prime minister declared the flooding disaster in the canal city a blow to the heart of the country. The mayor of Venice says the very future of his city is at stake.
On Thursday, the water rose and then retreated on St. Mark's Square. The Basilica, one of Venice's most iconic landmarks, is among the worst hit by the flooding. Its crypt has been swamped. Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte rushed to the city to assess the situation. He promised his government will act swiftly to provide funds and resources.
We will hold a cabinet meeting today where we will declare a state of emergency as requested by the region's governor. This will allow us to start allocating funds for rescue aid and to restore services across the city.
Local authorities estimate that more than 85% of the city was inundated in the past days. High winds and heavy rain drove the water level to almost 190 centimeters. It hasn't been this bad since 1966. Mayor Luigi Brugnaro blamed climate change for the extreme weather and said Venice was on its knees. There's also plenty of anger here.
I have a small shop, and we had around 15,000 euros worth of damage. I was prepared for a maximum of 60 centimeters of water, but it was well over 70. We didn't have enough electricity, and my pump wasn't strong enough to stop it.
An undersea barrier called the Mosa is being constructed to protect Venice from high water, but it's not finished yet. It has faced constant delays since construction began in 2003. As locals take in the aftermath of the flooding, city officials say the damage could total hundreds of millions of euros.
All right, let's go take stock of what the situation is right now in Venice. DW's Julia Saudelli is standing by. She's standing at St. Mark's Place. It looks like all the water has receded, Julia.
Yes, it has. And Venice has gone back, at least for today, to its normal tides. In this time of year, the moon and the sun and their effect on the Earth's waters influence the high tide in Venice. So today we reached a height of about 110 centimeters, which is definitely lower than the record reached on Tuesday night. People, however, are still reeling from the high tide. They are counting the damage. They are trying to clean up their homes and their shops, and they hope that they will receive some help from the government.
All right, because what we've heard from the government, from the Prime Minister of Italy, basically saying he will declare a state of emergency. What does that mean, and how will it help Venetians cope with the damage?
So the state of emergency would mean more money readily available and more power to help Venice rebuild. Today, Giuseppe Conte, the Prime Minister, also promised some money that will be readily available for citizens and for business owners in the city, in the hopes that that will help them kickstart and get back on their feet quite quickly after the problem.
And tell us a little bit about how Venetians feel about how officials, authorities have been dealing with this record flood.
So Venetians are used to hardship. High tides come every year, but this one was exceptional. No one was expecting it. No one was prepared for it. And Venetians are tough, but they are also a little skeptical of what the government has done and will be doing. For example, the Mose, this system of barriers that is meant to protect Venice from the high tide, has been in construction for almost 20 years. It was meant to be finished 5 years ago, but it still hasn't happened. And the trust in the government being able to bring that to completion is quite low here.
All right, DW's Julia Saudelli reporting from St. Mark's Place in Venice. So thank you for your continued coverage. Next, watch out, Tony Stark, if you're watching, because on the shores of England, a real-life Iron Man has soared into the record books. Earlier today, daredevil inventor Richard Browning blasted into the skies above Brighton inside his jet engine-powered flight suit, while the British Rocket Man smashed the previous world record for the fastest speed using a jet suit hitting 138 kilometers an hour. Well, that's more than double the speed of the previous record, which was also set by Browning in 2017. And a reminder now of the top story that we're tracking for you this hour. A Californian hospital has now confirmed a female victim of a school shooting has died from her injuries. At least four other people are being treated after a gunman opened fire near LA. Thanks so much for